Hey, everybody, welcome to Peck Underground Church. I am your host, Josh Peck, and I am very excited about tonight's show. You know, I say that on a lot of shows. I really do. Pretty much every show, I'm just so excited about it, you know. But and I don't ever mean it disingenuously or anything, but tonight I really am excited. I'm actually getting to catch up with an old friend of mine and somebody that you're going to find extremely interesting. We've got a lot of topics to cover tonight, UFOs, NDEs, conspiracy stuff. We're even going to talk about Alex Jones. Imagine that. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But before we get to our special guest tonight, I want to give you some announcements of what you can expect in future Peck Underground Church episodes. And this is why it's so important to subscribe, click the bell for notifications, and also just know that YouTube probably won't notify you. That's probably not going to happen. If you do get notified, you've won the lottery. We figure about one in every couple hundred actually get notified, one in every thousand, somewhere around there. So if you don't get notified, that's okay. Just keep checking back. Josh Peck. Peckdisclosure.com. Actually, our guest does the SEO for that website. Actually, basically runs the website now, which is awesome. But keep checking back there, or just bookmark this YouTube channel, youtube.com/Josh Peck Disclosure, in case you're listening to this on the podcast. Bookmark it, and just know every single day you're going to get like 8 new videos. That's not even an exaggeration. You're going to get many videos of extra content. But I want to let you know what is coming up in Peck Underground Church in the future. So next Friday, we have Jen Doe. That might sound like a fake name, but she is a very genuine person. She's got an amazing testimony. She came out of New Age and a lot of other things. We're going to talk to her. She recently did an interview on Dr. Michael Heiser's podcast, on his show. On his YouTube channel, Fringe Pop 321. So you're going to want to check that out. After that, we have Carl Gallups and Zev Peratt. That is going to be February 9th. Now, here's what's interesting about February 9th. Earlier before this interview with Carl and Zev, me and my lovely, beautiful wife, Christina, will actually be conducting an interview. It won't be live, so we'll put it up later, but we're going to be conducting an interview with the one, the only Hercules himself, Kevin Sorbo. He's a Christian. He's very pro-life. He has a lot of amazing insights to add to the discussion, and he has agreed to be on this channel, which is amazing, and I'm excited about that. So we're gonna record that early on February 9th, and we're going to try to get that interview up on February 9th later on in the day. But between at 11 a.m., so there's a different time. Usually we do these things in the evening, February 9th, because Zev is on Israel time. We're going to be doing it 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central on February 9th. So for Carl and Zev, make sure you stay tuned for that. And then sometime after that, we'll upload the interview with Kevin Sorbo. That's going to be a lot of fun. After that, I'm not going to mention dates because it takes too long, but we have Dr. Michael Heiser. We have Shelley Neese and Jim Barfield. They're involved with the Copper Scroll Project there in Israel. So that's going to be a lot of fun too. Rachel Stevens, Dr. Michael Lake. We have Gary Wayne again, March 1st. Alex Pagini. I still got to figure out how to. It would be so easy for me to just look up a video and find out how to say this guy's last name. And unfortunately, I just keep not doing it. But he's going to be on. He's a deliverance minister, and that's going to be a great conversation. After that, we have Joel Richardson and then Brian Melvin, who had an NDE of himself, saw hell and came back to tell the rest of us what he saw. All right, so that is what that is the future of Peck Underground Church, at least for now. We have many other guests in line, just nothing secured yet. At some point, we're going to get the CEO himself of Charisma Magazine, Stephen Strang. He has agreed to be on this channel. Also, Jonathan Kahn has agreed to be on. We're just trying to figure out dates and all this stuff. At some point, I would love to get on Dean Cain and Matt Walsh. And there's just lots of stuff that's coming up in the future that's not set in stone yet, but we're going to make happen. All right. We got a bunch of people blowing up in the chat. It's great to see all of you. Thank you so much. I promise we will set aside time for a live Q&A at the end of this. We're going to do about 45 minutes or so and then call it a night. So without further ado, I would love to introduce my very special guest who actually went to high school with me. So if you have any questions about what Josh Peck was like in high school, you can ask him. And he won't sugarcoat it. He'll tell you how much of a nerd I was, and that's fine. Most of you already know that anyway. Alex Patchen, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing great. It's good to reconnect with you. It's been such a long time. It's been almost, actually, I think it has been exactly 20 years since we spoke last, because I think the last time, my last memory of us in school was when we had that biology class, and we had to dissect a pig. But then we had this other guy in our group, and he literally just ripped the face off the pig. And that's what I remember.
he completely mutilated that pig. And I definitely remember it too. And that's something you just don't forget, I guess. Yeah.
Fun memories in high school, mutilating pig. Yeah, he had some problems. I think his name was Ryan. I don't remember anything else about him besides that. But that, so that was the last time we talked. I think we were sophomores in high school or something. So it's been 20 years. For those who aren't familiar with you or what you're involved in or just the kind of person you are, and believe me, everybody, this guy's great. There's I don't want to embarrass him, but there's been a lot that he's been doing behind the scenes that has greatly helped out everything we do on Josh Peck Disclosure, Peck Report, Peck Underground Church, everything that you guys are enjoying. Give Alex a big thank you because he's instrumental in a lot of this. But for those who have just no clue who you are, who is Alex Patchen? What are you interested in? Just who are you?
Again, I'm Alex Patchen, and I've got a family. I'm a family man. I've got my wife, Brittany, and my son and daughter, Colin and Isabella, and they put up with me every day. Actually, it's nice when I'm able to see them because I'm usually in this office working on the computer just constantly with all of the work that we've had with my company, Triface Media. We actually manage the SEO portion of a lot of big companies' websites. Basically what that means is when you go to Google and you see what's ranked, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, we kind of help those companies rank to the top.
Definitely. And I got to tell you, since you've been working on my website, I've seen explosive growth, explosive, more subscribers, more everything. I'll tell you what, guys, if you have a website or if you've got anything on your end that you need some SEO work done and you want more people to see it, this is your guy. Not only is he an expert, but he's affordable. If people actually wanted to take advantage of your services, where could they go to sign up?
So now we just recently built out something where you can basically get a free audit score. It's called freeseoauditscore.com. Go to that website. You put in the current website that you have, and put a little more information, and it'll give you a report card on what needs to be improved. And if you don't know how to improve each little step, just come to us, and you'll find our website right on that report and our contact details right on that report. Spits the report out in real time, so it's kind of a cool tool that we got built out.
That's awesome. And I got to tell everybody on this channel knows that I don't endorse anything unless I've tried it and I agree with it and I actually believe in it. I've had people before you, I've had people kind of try to help me with SEO and just nothing really ever made any kind of difference. But you're the one and only person that I've ever went through, one and only company that you run that I've ever went through where it's actually made a difference. So for anybody out there who's looking for that, that is where to go. So to start this off, you know, a lot of this channel, we do talk about a lot of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. You know, we talk about UFO stuff, near-death experience stuff, even conspiracy stuff. We're going to get a little bit into Alex Jones and InfoWars tonight. So you actually had a really interesting experience that I want you to tell us about, but detail in as much detail as you could possibly. This actually has to do with something I'm working on right now. I'm working on a new project about the afterlife, near death experiences, and stuff like that. But you had something happen in Italy. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I visited Italy and I visited there many times, but this was maybe the first time that I can recollect when I visited there. I was riding my bike on the pavement, and it was a smaller bike, didn't have training wheels. It's my cousin's bike, and I want to say I was about five.
Okay.
Five, probably good, 4 or 5. And I remember my mom telling me not to ride the bike at all, and she was inside helping my grandmother cook, of course, right, Italy. And so anyways, I didn't listen, and I took the bike out, and there was this long, long driveway. And I took it all the way to the end of the driveway. And then I looked left and looked right and decided to go left a little bit. And see, when I was riding the bike, I was just going straight the entire driveway. But then when I took a left, now I didn't know how to ride a bike without training wheels at the time. When I took a left, I just went over and smacked the pavement. My head just, boom, cracked it. And I remember just kind of opening my eyes for a second and then closing them again. And then after that, I recall basically seeing like a white aura of basically is light. And in the middle of that light, I don't want to say I saw myself in the third person, but in the middle of that light, I was just kind of reaching for, I'm not sure, the center of that light. And I almost saw people in like either robes, I don't know if they were angels, but there were people on the outside of the light, kind of like layered towards the back. And I just remember reaching towards that center. But then all of a sudden I heard my mom start saying my name. And then I heard church bells, which was really, really crazy. So I hear this, you know, these European church bells go off. Then I start hearing my mom, Alex, Alex, Alex. So I opened my eyes and, you know, rethought about what I just saw. And this is me only 5 years old and didn't think much of it, you know, didn't think much of it. But I woke up on the couch with an ice pack on my head watching like Captain Caveman or something like that. And, you know, thinking back on it, I'm just kind of wowed as to what I experienced based off of that. Now, I'm not sure if I died, if I got knocked out, but what I saw is what I saw, and just glad to be able to share it with you guys.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like that was pretty impactful on you. Now, were you raised a Christian, or at the time, what was your kind of understanding of God and heaven and all that stuff? And what is it now? Was there a difference between those two time periods in your life?
Yeah, so I was raised actually Catholic. Italian is predominantly, you know, Catholic. And Catholicism, you know, I recall, you know, going to church and doing all the kneeling and sitting back down and kneeling again. See, there's a lot of work.
A jump down, turn around kind of thing.
Exactly, the hokey pokey. Yeah. And so, you know, being five at that time, I didn't know much about it, didn't look too much into it. I was more into just adventure, toys, cartoons, simple things that, you know, five-year-olds were into. But, you know, now, you know, basically my belief is if you take the chance to believe in something, whatever it is, respectfully, that you believe in, then taking that chance will possibly allow you to move into the afterlife with what you believe the afterlife is.
Oh, interesting. That is
my belief.
So. Yeah, that's really interesting. I remember when I was growing up, for a short period of time, my mom, okay, so she got, you know, she divorced my dad when I was really young. And this was before I moved to Holly, before, you know, middle school and high school and all that. I was still living in Flint, Michigan. And for a time, my mom dated this Catholic guy, Wes. And like, he was really nice. Like, I really liked him a lot. And we would go to Catholic Mass every now and then. And I didn't really know what to do with it because I was born and raised Baptist. So, you know, if you have a Baptist background and then you try to do Catholic stuff, it's different, you know. And you know, the last thing I'd ever want to do is bash on any Catholics. I don't want to do that. We have many very, very good and strong Catholic brothers and sisters in Christ. Catholicism as a whole, you know, there's a lot of theology I personally don't agree with, but, you know, I would never bash anybody, you know, about it. I would just say, well, here's my opinion. And I would just say that. And that's kind of how I handle that. But we, you know, we did the whole Mass thing and the, you know, the hokey pokey stuff like we were talking about. And yeah, so I remember there was a time that I kind of thought that too about, you know, the afterlife. And this is something that I'm digging into now, which is I love this conversation. And I actually appreciate being able to talk with people that I may disagree with or they may disagree with me, but it's still just a fun conversation and it doesn't have to be, you know, this vitriolic thing that we see in the church a lot. I mean, there's a lot of Christians who unfortunately will just totally write somebody off if they don't agree with their particular rapture view or their view on the shape of the earth or, you know, just something ridiculous like that. So for me, I like having conversations. Like my personal view of the afterlife, and I'm glad that you brought that up, by the way, it's a great topic. My personal view is that if you want to, you know, enter into paradise or enter into heaven, then Jesus Christ is the only way to that. And but I do remember a time when I was younger where I kind of had that idea too, that like, well, you know, maybe it's that whenever we pass on, whatever the afterlife for us, whatever we imagine that that would be the best for us, that's what it's going to be. And I really did believe that for a long time. And I'm not, you know, again, I'm not bashing anything. We're just exchanging ideas here, but yeah, I mean, so now I would say, well, for me, I would think whatever the afterlife is according to Jesus is probably more, what would you say, more real or more appropriate than what my view of the afterlife might be. That's just kind of my thoughts about it. But it's a great topic. I'm glad you brought that up. Where would you stay? Where would you say that, like, today that you stand spiritually? Is it too heavy of a question? I'm putting you on the spot. We haven't talked in 20 years.
You're right. It's not spiritually, as in, you know, do I personally believe in like a heaven of some type?
Or... Sure. Yeah. Any of that. Yeah.
Sure. I would. So again, my theory is, as long as you, and maybe it's a selfish theory, but as long as you believe in some type of a form of paradise, take that chance, you know. Don't, and I'm not bashing on atheists at all, but if you're atheist, then you're not taking that chance. But you might as well take the chance, see where it goes. You know, you've got a long time until then, or it's obviously unpredictable, but let's hope we all have a long time. And, you know, as long as you live, you know, morally, let's just hope that you get there. As long as you believe, you'll get there, you know. That's kind of my theory.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you know, if somebody is and there's probably atheists watching now. If somebody is an atheist, you know, at least look into the idea of an afterlife. Look into the idea that possibly there might be life after this physical one. And there's actually a lot of great philosophy behind this. And I will admit, this is something that the just generally speaking, the majority of Catholicism has on Protestants, is that Catholicism has never abandoned philosophy in the way that Protestantism has. So, you know, I'm definitely a Protestant, but I've noticed we are kind of lacking in just good basic philosophy on how you can you can prove the existence of God and an afterlife just through basic reasoning. You know, without I mean, eventually you got to get to the scripture and you got to get to all that. But somebody who's just plain, just an atheist, actually a really good book. I've been reading this lately. I think it is absolutely phenomenal. It's called Five Proofs of the Existence of God. People watching, pick this up. It's by author Edward Feser, F-E-S-E-R. I'm going to try to get him on this channel. He is a Catholic. But again, when it comes to Protestants, you just don't have a whole lot of options when it comes to philosophy. You know, you got William Lane Craig and a couple others, but there's just not a whole lot to choose from. So I think that it can be very beneficial for us to, you know, kind of go to the other side, you know, go to the dark side to kind of learn some good philosophy. There is such good knowledge in here, just good reasoning and logic. Where you if you get these arguments, and these are ancient ideas. I mean, these come from like Aristotle. These are very ancient ideas. But if you get that, you can bring these very logic-based reasons to an atheist and say, this is at least something that you should look at. And eventually, what I love about all this is eventually, if somebody continues on that path, it leads back to Jesus Christ every time, which is great. And then at that point, if somebody accepts Jesus, it doesn't matter whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant, you're still getting in. So that's awesome. But yeah, so I'm glad that that you talked about that and are willing to, and that you have that perspective. I think that's what a phenomenal, a great way to start this discussion. You saw to just totally derail this conversation, you saw a UFO in White Lake, Alex. What? And actually, you're not alone. My wife, I actually probably should have invited her to be part of this, but she has seen UFOs a few times. She's from the Goodrich area, so pretty close to White Lake, you know, in relative terms. But what did you see? What is the whole story behind that?
Yeah, so it was one night where I was having bad anxiety. I was trying to sleep, and I ended up just getting up and going for a walk. So I went for this walk, and I look up in the sky, and this is a far, far view of what I had. It was nothing up close, you know, nothing like you see in the movies, anything like that. But I saw three of the red dots, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen these, where it's three red dots made a triangle. the red dots, I'm looking, and the red dots formed into one red dot and then just took off. Just pew. And now this was a time before, you know, you had everybody that has a drone now, anything like that. But it was way too high as well in the sky. So I see this triangle. It turns into one red, like, lit up dot and then just takes off so quick. It was pretty insane. I mean, that's what I saw, and there's not a whole lot more to it, but I'm sure a lot of people can probably say that they've seen something similar.
Definitely. We saw that big time. I wrote a book with Derek Gilbert called The Day the Earth Stands Still, where we discussed the whole alien UFO phenomenon. We came up with some conclusions that I thought were going to be really controversial, because I actually do believe that it's possible there could be life on other planets, you know. And a lot of Christians in kind of my realm don't believe that, which is fine. I mean, they've got good points, and I totally under. For a long time, I was in that camp too. I had one UFO experience. I still don't really know what it was. It was really minor, but like you, it was during a time where I had like a lot of high anxiety and stuff. I was living in this little terrible trailer where 6 months before we bought the place, me and Christina bought the place, a murder and a rape happened in this place. So the price was severely reduced, so we only had to pay $500 for the whole thing, and but we moved in, and there was just a lot of weird things happening there. But this one day, me and Christina went out to we were going to go out to eat, and I kind of just turned back over our trailer, and I saw what I thought just was a star. You know, I just thought, okay, well, I've never seen that, but it was really bright, and it was centered right above our trailer. So I told Christina, hey, look at that. I don't remember seeing a star there before. And she's seen UFOs, and she's had like experiences in that realm before. She's even been attacked before. I mean, she's got an amazing testimony with that side of stuff. But she looked at that 1 second, and she just immediately knew what it was. And she said, that is not a star. And I was like, well, and you know, because I'm like skeptical. And I was like, well, what else is it going to be? You know, maybe it's a satellite or something, but it wasn't moving. But it looked like it was blinking. I thought it was just because the atmosphere and clouds moving over it, even though it was a really clear night. But I just thought it was something like that. She's like, no, that's something else. And I was like, all right, let's go out to eat. If it is a star, when we come back, it should still be there. You know, if it's a star, if it's not really moving that much, 1 hour shouldn't do anything.
Right.
But if we come back and that thing is gone, then I'm on board with you and I believe you. So we went out to eat, and then we came back, and sure enough, the thing was gone. That night, I went to sleep, and I had the most horrific dreams I had ever had in my life. And this thing didn't really scare me. I just was like, all right, well, that's weird. I don't know what that was. But that night, I had the most horrific night terror, just insane nightmares. I don't really remember too much about the dreams themselves, just these really long, skinny, grayish arms like covering over me. And it was terrifying. And so that shocked me. So I totally get where you're coming from. Anything like that is really shocking. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts about the whole idea of life on other planets? Do you think that there could be life out there?
Well, to say it simply, they call it space for a reason, right? There's a lot of it. And now, as we're advancing in technology and more exploration, deeper exploration, they're really starting to find more signs pointing towards yes. So from a scientific standpoint, I would say yes, you know. And with that being said, I would hope that if there is something out there, it doesn't end up like the movies where we're always under attack. Now, unfortunately, it sounds like for your wife, she's had some types of attacks. Let's hope that when it does happen, that it doesn't happen that way and we're not attacked and they can come in peace, as everyone always says, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, Stephen Hawking actually brought up a good point about that. You know, before he died, obviously he didn't say it after he died, he made the point that he hopes that we don't ever discover advanced life, you know, a technological civilization, you know, more than our own, because every time that's happened on our planet, you know, when you have one civilization that comes into contact with another civilization, it results in enslavement, you know, and then it takes a really long time to work that out. Right. So, you know, he said that he hoped that we don't ever discover. And so this is something that I've thought about a lot too. And Derek Gilbert and I wrote the book on this. Because a lot of most Christians, I should say most Protestant Christians, most fundamental type Christians, they believe that there just is no life, you know, anywhere, because they've been raised to believe that. A lot of that comes from arguments made from non-Christians like Thomas Paine and people like that, who made these kind of ridiculous arguments of, well, you know, if there's an alien planet, then wouldn't an alien Jesus have to die on an alien cross to save their souls? And, you know, so what? Jesus is just going from planet to planet. I mean, it's a ridiculous argument, and it was ridiculous at the time. It was a straw man argument at the time, but Christians, unfortunately, because we just kind of have a knack for doing this, Christians took it seriously, and they thought, oh, you know, maybe he's got something there. So that spurred on this tradition of Christians believing that there could not be life on other planets. And the simple answer to that is, well, you know, the Bible is very, well, first, the Bible is very Christ-centric, you know, but outside of that, it's very human-centric. So yes, while, you know, the fall of Adam and Eve, it caused sin in the world and all this stuff. But we don't see an animal Jesus. You know, we don't see like a dog Jesus dying on a dog cross to save all the dogs. Yet we all kind of have this idea that dogs are probably fine. They're probably going to heaven. I can't imagine God sending a dog to hell. You know, what kind of God would that be? So why would it be any different for some alien race? And a lot of people say it's because the image of God. A lot of people believe that, you know, we're created in the image of God, and the image of God is intelligence or consciousness or self-awareness. That's not what the image of God is at all. You know, according to scripture, the term image of God is more of a title for humanity, that we are put here on earth to take care of it in the same way that God himself would take care of it if he were here. So it's more of a position or a title. It's not really like a descriptive, it doesn't have anything to do with consciousness or intelligence or anything like that. So there very well could be millions of alien races out there. They may interact with us someday. And so go ahead.
I said they may already have in their own form, to where they've got enough information from us without us even knowing. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. And we've talked on this channel with Timothy Alberino about this, because he's got a controversial view, kind of similar to mine, is that this could be possible. And yeah, it's like, well, look, okay, they would be outside of what we would recognize as salvation from Jesus Christ, you know, because there are no alien Jesuses. You know, there's Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. So when we, you know, if we accept that, and if we accept Jesus as our Savior, you know, when we die, we can go to heaven, all that stuff. Aliens, you know, if there is another race out there, we just don't know anything about them, and we don't know how salvation would work with them, and it really doesn't matter. It doesn't have a theological basis. Actually, before Thomas Paine and before all these really ridiculous arguments came out, Christians by and large believed that there probably were planets out there, or are planets out there with life on them. So like my main thing, you know, me and Derek's whole thing with writing that book was, what if someday we actually do discover alien life? Like, what if they find a microbe on Mars or something, or even on the moon? All of a sudden, you know, many Christians are going to have egg on their face, and they're going to have to try to explain it away, or explain how, well, it can't really be this, or... And then you have a problem all over again, where there were Christians when dinosaur bones were discovered. You got Christians saying that, you know, Satan put them there, or some ridiculous thing, because it doesn't fall in line with certain traditions involving like the age of the earth. So I'm totally on board with you. I do want to give a very special thank to Gabriel Wells for a $20 super chat contribution. No question. Gabriel just says, love you, brother. Hey, we love you too, Gabriel. Thank you so much for your super chat contribution. So let's move on to InfoWars and Alex Jones. Now I know that you've got some opinions that I agree with for sure on this. I was honored and blessed to share a panel last year with Owen Schroyer of Schroyer. It's a hard name to say. Owen Schroyer of InfoWars. And we talked about transhumanism and stuff in front of, I don't know, like 3,000 people. It was a blast. And actually, people, if you want Owen on this channel, remind me, because I'm going to forget. I've just got so many things going. Remind me in the comment section or send me an email to joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com and I will send him an invite. I've actually been meaning to do so for a long time. InfoWars and Alex Jones. So we see a big censorship thing going on. This channel has suffered from it. And I know you're actively working to make sure the same thing doesn't happen with the website, with joshpeckdisclosure.com. What are your thoughts about free speech censorship? Should Alex Jones really have been censored despite the conspiracy stuff that he talks about, whether true or not? What are your thoughts about Alex Jones and InfoWars?
Yeah, so I mean, Alex Jones, he is definitely, you know, when InfoWars first started out, you know, he had my eye, and I was an avid reader of InfoWars, and as it got a little more crazier, I noticed the subscribers kept just going up, and increasing. But as more of this, and I don't mean to say crazy, but I mean, I guess crazy type of content. But where I'm going with this is, I mean, yeah, to answer your question about censorship, that's just too far. You've got just too many complainers, and that's fine. You know, everybody is going to have haters and complainers. And I think, you know, platforms like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, they shouldn't completely ban and shun somebody from that. I mean, to be really extreme, like Twitter has like literal terrorists on their website, but yet, you know, I know they're proactively trying to get rid of them, but there's just all kinds of people that I could point out that shouldn't be on Twitter. But at the same time, like it's again, it comes down to like freedom of speech and, you know, that amendment. I don't think he ever should have been censored, to be honest with you. When it comes down to the fake news stuff, well, somebody needs to figure out a way to decipher what's fake, what's not. And I know there are a bunch of websites out there that do it, but at the same time, you've got lobbies behind them and yada, yada, yada. So it's really a rabbit hole type of thing with censorship. But when it comes down to it, no, you should not censor anybody, you know, unless they're doing something where they're like hurting children and posting it, something just absolutely vile. But if it's just an opinion and they're putting it out there about politics, whatever it may be, like Alex Jones does, you just got to let it slide. You got to let it be.
I agree. You know, when it comes to deciphering fake news, I think a lot of the censorship stuff is really individuals trying to shirk off their own individual responsibility. I think we all have a personal responsibility to read stuff, to be researchers and look into it and see if it's fake or not. And if it is fake, then don't share it or expose it or whatever. But I agree with you. I don't think anybody should be censored unless they're trying to, you know, call for physical harm of somebody, or, you know, I mean, there's laws around that for a reason, but for what Alex Jones is doing, like, okay, I don't believe that Sandy Hook was fake, you know, the whole Sandy Hook false flag narrative that was popularized by Alex Jones. I believe it actually happened. You know, I believe the official narrative with that, you know, fine, but I don't want to censor Alex Jones if he doesn't believe that. If he doesn't believe it, he should be able to just talk and just say what he wants to say. And if people don't like it, they don't have to listen. Or people can do their own research and come to their own conclusions. So when we allow the government, not even necessarily the government in this circumstance, but when we don't hold private companies to the same standards that our Constitution was written on, you know, freedom of speech. Now, yes, it's a private corporation. Private companies can do whatever they want. They can censor. They can do all that, and they legally can do that. That's fine. But at the same time, we need to recognize that that does not uphold to American values. And also, Alex Jones technically did not break anything in the official guidelines, the official rules. When you sign up for, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff, you have to sign a 18-page thing on their guidelines, but he didn't break any of their guidelines. He didn't break any specific guidelines at all. So even according to their own guidelines, he should not have been censored, regardless of what people think about him. And you know, that kind of brings up something too, that you suggested as a talking point, the global warming issue, because there are people who are censored heavily. I am one of them. If I talk about global warming, or if I talk about abortion from a pro-life standpoint, I get shadow banned. Those videos will get 100 or 200 views, and I have 60 something odd subscribers on here, and I have an even larger audience. I'm not like tooting my own horn. I just have a larger audience on Skywatch. I got a lot of people following me, and you know, trying to follow everything I do. So you know, when I am used to getting, you know, let's say 10,000 views per video, and then all of a sudden I say something about pro-life, and then that gets 200 views. There's a shadow banning issue there. And I've even talked to YouTube personally. I read the emails online on this channel. People can go back and watch them. I actually read our whole correspondence between me and YouTube. They flat out don't care. They don't care. They absolutely just do censor whoever they want. And it doesn't matter if you break their guidelines or not. I've noticed this with global warming. So global warming, it's totally been misunderstood. Many think that this is like an extreme cold weather debate. Actually, I thought Trump's recent tweet about this was hilarious. You know, we could use some of that global warming right now. What are your thoughts about global warming or climate change, weather versus climate, all of that stuff? And why do you think this is being censored so much?
Yeah, so I'll tell you why it's been censored is because there's huge lobbies and corporations that are affected by it when all of these laws are put into place. Like, I know Trump just brought a lot of, he lifted a lot of laws that were on coal. And there's, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars in the coal mining business and coal sales. And I mean, you think about it, trains use it. It's used to burn for power. Heck, even Santa Claus uses it, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that definitely comes down to the lobbies. This is just not much more to it. But as far as global warming, is it real? I would say, so I don't know if we've even lived long enough to even know, because you can't take 100 or 200 years, or however far back we can go, based on estimates of climate. Like, we need actual reads. And with that being said, I don't know if we've lived long enough to be able to accurately measure that. Now, within the time that we've lived, it does seem like the Earth is heating up. So here in the United States, we see, you know, in the summertime, for example, we see some very hot temperatures, extreme, as they would call it. And then everyone will say, well, it's global warming. You know, it's 100 degrees in Michigan in June. It's global warming. Okay, you know, I can respect that. And then at the same time, when it's, you know, January, February, and all of a sudden, just like earlier this week, we had, it was like minus 15 Fahrenheit. And then it went to, and then it was minus 30 with the wind chill. A lot of people, yeah, they need to realize that when people say global warming, it's extreme temperature changes. So I would call minus 30 in Michigan during this time very extreme.
Oh yeah.
And you know, there's just a lot of science behind it. You know, the Earth is wobbling the Earth just doesn't rotate nicely. You know, it's on a wobble. When you roll a ball and you watch it bounce on the ground, it's not just going to bounce off the ground and then just stop. You know, there's a lot of wobbling involved. And I think when the Earth is wobbling, that has a lot to do with the way that the temperature is too. We just got... Yeah, this past week in Michigan, we just got basically Arctic temperatures. So yeah. I would say it has a lot to do with the trajectory of the wind, the way that the Earth wobbles, and as well as, you know, possibly, you know, pollution as well. There's just so many different factors. Is pollution the number one factor? A lot of people say yes. I don't know, based on the way that the Earth is has that wobble. You know what I mean?
And that's the big question. And yeah, oh my gosh, you just made me so not miss Michigan. Yeah, you need to move to Missouri. We've had like 40, 50 degree temperature this, you know, around this time. It's been great. But no, and that's the important question. It's that people who are like kind of, you know, against the climate change narrative. It's not that we're saying that climate change doesn't exist. It's just how much do human beings actually contribute to that? And there are no studies on that. There's no studies that actually really show Into the Multiverse after the 100th episode. I did a couple episodes on climate change. And so I had to really research that and find out what was going on. And I actually invited Mark Stein from Fox. He's been on Fox. He's even co-hosted or guest hosted for Tucker Carlson quite a few times. I invited him on, and hopefully we can get him on someday. But I had to really look into this. And the main thing is, that yes, everybody agrees the climate is kind of shifting and changing. Like everybody agree. The debate is not if it's changing, it's how much does humanity really contribute to that? Because when you look at the giant scope of just what the sun is and how big it is, we might not actually be contributing so much due to pollution and due to other things. And look, I'm all for not polluting the earth. You know, I mean, part of God's commandment to us is to take care of the earth and keep it nice and stuff. But how much of this is actually like CO2 emissions? So we know that trees on the earth, their food basically is CO2, and then they release oxygen. And there have been studies to show that in CO2 rich environments, more trees grow. So wouldn't that be a nice thing, you know, to a lot of these kind of more green, you know, whatever tree hugger types. And, you know, I mean, you know, they're fine. I get it. But you would think that would be a good thing. OK, well, let's give these trees some CO2 and then we can benefit from that. And so can they, if that's actually how it works. But the studies are so scattered and they're so all over the place. And it's more to push a political agenda than it really is to get at the actual scientific fact. It's really hard to find concrete data on anything having to do with global warming. So a lot of people like on our side, I think you said it really well, are just kind of like, well, I just don't know. You know, the data's not in, and I can't form really a solid opinion one way or another about it. And I'm on board with you that, you know, there, that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. Speaking of keeping an eye on things, there's this website that I haven't heard about, but it's something that you look into a lot of, this secret type of website that our audience might be able to benefit from. What is LiveLeak?
Oh yeah. So secret website that I visit, kind of a guilty, I don't want to call it pleasure. It really depends on the content, but, It's real world stuff. LiveLeak is a website that I imagine the servers are probably not in the US. It's not, I wouldn't say dark web or black web, anything like that, but it's more of like a YouTube that's, again, really uncensored. Like you will find, you know, actual war scenes and just different types of horrific accidents, stuff like that, that you probably won't find on YouTube. But you know, if you really want to know, again, like we had talked about earlier, fake news and valid news, if you want to call it the other side there, you'll find a lot of videos on basically what's happened, what people reported on. It's cameras everywhere nowadays, so you know, reports and video are two totally different things. So I think a lot of the times justice is served when you can see it, when you can see a video. Most of the time, I would say there's still opinionative people out even when you watch a video. But yeah, it's I don't want to give too much away, but it's a pretty good site to go there and just kind of see, you know, the truth in video.
Good deal. Well, people should check that out. I'm definitely going to have to. I surprisingly have not heard of it, and I'm in this kind of realm of research, so I'm surprised I haven't heard of it. I blame my audience. None of you told me about it, you jerks. I'm kidding. I love you all so much. But so we're going to move into the Q&A section. So everybody, if you got a question for Alex or if you got a question for me, and listen, if you got one for Alex, send it to Alex, because it's not every day we can get Alex on. So, but if you have one for me, I'm happy happy to answer anything that you want. Get your questions ready. Go ahead and put them in the chat right now. While we're waiting for that, once again, what is your SEO company? What can you do for people? How can you help? And again, Alex has my ringing endorsement because everybody who watches this channel knows I am very selective about things that I endorse, and I rarely ever do it. I'm really, really selective. I have to actually know that it's worth doing. I highly endorse everything Alex is doing in his company. What is your SEO company? What can you do for people? And how can people find more about you or what you do online?
Yeah, it's Triface Media. So trifacemedia.com. Right when you go to the homepage, you'll be able to find our free SEO audit form. And if you click on that, it'll give you a real-time SEO analysis. And you just enter a little bit of info and it'll give you a report card basically on the website that you have. And how it works is you check out the report card. And if you can do everything on your own, all the steps to optimize your website properly on Google, then great. But if not, you know, we're here to help you out. And all of our information to get a hold of me is on that report card. Otherwise, you can send me an email at alexpatchin@trifacemedia.com or just visit our website again. It's trifacemedia.com. And again, Josh hasn't paid me anything. I haven't paid him anything. You know, we're high school buddies. And so basically, I've been helping him out this last year or two on basically anything that he needs done with his website. And
I've tried to pay you. You won't let me.
Won't let him. He puts out some great content, and I know you guys agree. Gosh, you just had a nice donation, and it's an honor to work with you, man.
Hey, the honor is all mine, and I really appreciate the work that you do. So in the Q&A section, I say this to every guest. If a question comes up that you don't want to answer, feel free to just say, I'll pass on that one. That is totally fine. I do that sometimes. Sometimes people ask me a question, I just don't want to answer it. I don't know what to do with it. And so that's fine. So somebody did ask me before. I did tell them to remind me in the Q&A, but I'll just address it now because I'm not seeing if they're doing it. But somebody asked me, like, you know, Josh, how can you say that there's life on other planets? And isn't it so obvious that the UFO phenomenon is demonic in nature? And I would say, yes, that's actually absolutely true. So one of the interesting things that came up in me and Derek's research is there is a split between the UFO phenomena and UFO phenomenon, alien abduction phenomena, and the idea that there might be life on other planets. You know, we kind of tend to put all of this stuff into one basket, but it turns out these are very segregated types of ideas. So yes, when it comes to when it comes to somebody, because you hear this a lot, you hear people who say that they have an abduction scenario type of thing happen to them. Christina, my wife, went through this as well. They have a type of thing like that happens to them, and then they call on the name of Jesus. And, you know, Scripture tells us that if we call on the name of Jesus, the demons, the evil spirits, are in subjection to us because we're calling on a higher name. So we can use the name of Jesus to get rid of these things and have them, you know, leave us alone, basically. So there are a lot of people who have an abduction experience, and they ask Jesus for help, or they say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And then they leave. They leave immediately. Now, if this was an alien race from another planet, they would not leave. It's like if somebody was robbing your house, if somebody broke into your house at gunpoint and they're robbing you, you could say, you know, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And I mean, they might. I mean, I'm not going to say that Jesus can't do something. Jesus could, you know, inspire them to leave. But most often they're just going to do whatever they want to do because we're human beings and we have free will. So you would think that if it's actual, you know, aliens from another planet, they would not be held in subjection to the name of Christ. So there have been a lot of reports of that. So in the book, in The Day the Earth Stands Still, and if anybody has any follow-up questions, I'm happy to answer them to the best of my ability. But in the book, we lay out the difference between the UFO phenomenon and the alien abduction phenomenon. They're two totally separate, different things. I, too, thought those were connected because, obviously, how could they not be? But it turns out they're two very separate things. And then the idea that life might exist on other planets. And I actually kind of believe, and this might be a juvenile belief, but this is just kind of what I think about it. I think if we ever discovered life on another planet, I think we would actually be the technologically advanced ones. I don't think that we would find something that's more technologically advanced than us. Part of that is because I take a ish literal view on creation in you know, the way the Bible describes it in certain aspects. And, you know, I mean, there's also poetry and metaphor going on there too, but you know, I think that there's a good case that could be made that God, when it comes to physical reality, sentient beings, that he created us first. So if he created alien beings later, they would naturally be a little bit behind us. But again, I don't know. I mean, they're very well could be very technologically advanced species. I would not hinge my salvation on something like that for sure. So to answer that question, okay, we got one for you, Alex. A little controversial. If you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. Alex, this comes from Lisa Johannan. And I do believe that this question is asked out of love, so don't take offense. Alex, wouldn't you like to know for sure that you are going to heaven and not have to hope that you will? I don't know. How do you want to answer that? Or you don't have to.
I suppose my question is, how do you know, if you're going to go for sure? You know, is it something that you're going to find in your cereal in the morning? Like, I'm not exactly sure. But with that being said, you know, I am a firm believer in Jesus and God. And I believe if you, again, like I said, if you take that chance, then, you know, I don't know if it's a no. I don't know if it's a positive. Again, I think that it's a chance, and that chance is better than not believing. So
I can definitely understand that if I'm witnessing to an atheist or something, because you know, you look at like the atheist perspective, and there really is their hope is that they die and then that's it. You know, their hope kind of is that there is no afterlife. And because then they're not held accountable. But I've often wondered about this too. You know, I think that there's something inside of us that just kind of knows we're going to be in some way accountable for everything that we do on earth. And, you know, I would say Jesus is the answer to that. Jesus is the answer to that, his blood kind of cleanses. Well, not kind of, his blood does cleanse our sins if we accept it. So like if I was talking to an atheist, I absolutely would probably say something very similar to what you just said, is like, well, look, wouldn't you want to take a chance that maybe there's something out there? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you want to at least explore that and like look at the best arguments throughout time? This is something that annoys me about Lawrence Krauss. Like, I'm really big into physics. I love quantum physics. And Lawrence Krauss, he's a quantum physicist, but he has such a juvenile view of Christianity. He's always saying that like religion is essentially worthless. You can't gain anything from it, but he doesn't understand what the arguments actually are for religion. He hasn't really looked into it ever. He's just already made up his mind before he even looks into it. So I would probably say, you know, to an atheist, something really similar to what you said is like, well, at least try to understand what the best arguments for Christianity, for Jesus are. And then if you want to reject them, that's your free will. God's afforded all of us free will. But if not, then at least it gives you something to look forward to. I think we lost Alex for a moment, so we're going to see what happens. Hey, sorry if I'm dominating the conversation here. I tried to fill in for you. Everything okay?
Everything's good. I think my daughter escaped. We got her up late tonight, and she got into the office. She found Daddy, so.
Oh, that's adorable. Yeah, my kids do that all the time. No worries. Hey, if you need, do you need to wrap it up? We can wrap it up if you need to.
We can keep going with the Q&A if you'd like.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see what else we got. So basically, like what I was saying is, like if I'm okay, well, people can just rewind. I don't want to rehash everything I said. Okay, so Jacob is saying, do you believe a new planet in our solar system could warm the Earth? What do you think about the magnetic North Pole moving? Do you have anything on that? Is that anything you're familiar with?
So there's can you repeat the question? There's a planet basically that's...
I think it's like a... I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of reading context into the question. I think they're talking about... Well, the question says, do you believe a new planet in our solar system could warm the Earth? What do you think about the magnetic North Pole moving? Now, I know we did do a Peck report recently on the magnetic North Pole is like moving towards Russia, which is weird. Some people are saying that maybe there's an undiscovered planet in the solar system, Planet X, that might be doing that. I personally think it's just a natural process. But I mean, I'm open to, I don't know anything about geo. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. Planet X. I know Planet X is what is it called? Otherwise, it's known as
Nibiru.
Nibiru. I remember being spooked by that. Now I don't know. Is it real or is it not? I personally know. You know, the farthest planet is Pluto, and everything inside. But. Yeah, that's a really good question. I can't say no, but I can't say yes. If there was a planet and it was lined up the right way, I'm sure that there could be some type of a gravitational like pull. But shifting, you said, Josh, that you think it's shifting to the Arctic towards Russia?
Yeah, well, there's a part of that's like scientifically true is that for some reason the magnetic, like not the actual North Pole, but just the magnetic North Pole, for some reason has been shifting faster and faster towards kind of the Russia region. Nobody really knows why it's happening. There's an idea that it's something going on in the Earth's core. So, I mean, it's an interesting story, but it doesn't really have anything to do with anything. Some people put prophetic importance on it. There might be. There very well could be. We explored some of the. I got to tell you, Alex, you are such a trooper with these weird questions.
Yeah, I just got to understand them from top to bottom to be able to answer them. But, I mean, there's a possibility. All I know about Planet X and Nibiru is back when I Googled it on Google Maps or whatever a long time ago, there was a little square that wouldn't show up on Google Maps. I don't know if anyone can relate, but it wouldn't load for some reason. It was completely black, and that was supposed to be the solar coordinates on Google Map or the Google Solar, Google, I forget which Google program it was, Google Space or something like that. But it wouldn't load, so it kind of spooked me out. Like, hey, what are they trying to hide from us here? Planet X, Nibiru, you know.
Yeah. I remember when that came out too, and I wondered the same thing. Still haven't really found a solid answer for it. But yeah, it's freaky. It's kind of weird. You know, what could be behind that black square? So let's see. We got Hawkeye Assassins asking. Want to ask you a question, if I may. It's not signified to me or you, so we can both just answer it. I'll let you go first. Are we supposed to pray for those who have passed on, who have died, people who have died? Are we supposed to pray for them? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a bad time to pray. You know, if you say no, then it possibly be a bad time to do it, right? Or you being in the wrong. So I think you're okay to pray for people that have passed on, as well as people that are alive.
Yeah, I definitely agree with people praying for people who are alive. People who passed on, I guess my. What I would say is it depends on your motivation for it. Like, do you believe that when somebody, and I'd be asking the questioner this, like, would you believe that once somebody dies that their eternity is sealed? You know, scripture indicates that. So if that's true, then once somebody dies, wherever they're going to end up, that's a done matter. Now, if you're praying for like therapeutic reasons, because it helps you and it helps draw you kind of closer to God to ask him questions about what happened or why things are the way they are, I think that's great. Now I know, what is it? I think Mormonism teaches that, if somebody dies and goes to hell, and if enough people pray for that person, then that person can escape hell. I personally don't believe that because I don't find anything in the Bible to support that. So I would say, you know, on that point, I would disagree with the Mormon teaching with that. But at the same time, it really depends on why you're doing it and what it's for, what your theology behind it is. But I absolutely agree 100% that praying for the living is never wrong, because, hey, we all need some prayer, don't we? I mean, the world is kind of a messed up place. Let me just kind of scroll through here and see. Does Alex believe in any biblical prophecy relating to earth changes? Which ones and why? Have you given much thought to Bible prophecy? I actually don't know if that's something that you're actively involved in or have thought about, or and if not, that's totally fine. But
I'm not very educated on it to be able to answer that question, to be honest with you.
No worries. Well, I can say that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said, I apologize. I can't answer that one.
You should apologize. It's your fault. And you've ruined the interview now. Yeah. I've lost half my audience. Thanks, Alex.
From what I know, you know, it's a lot of these are hit or miss, you know, with biblical prophecy, some are correct and some are not. Am I right?
Right. Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. There's interpretations where, you know, some turn out to be right and some not. And I'll tell you what, no, I promise you the audience is going to greatly appreciate your honesty in that, because so rarely does anybody actually admit when they don't know something. Usually if somebody doesn't know something, they'll just kind of make it up, you know, and that doesn't help anybody. What really helps people is when somebody is honest and just, you know, when they could just say, you know what, I'm just not educated in that area. So I really appreciate you, you being open and honest about that. I could give a basic, you know, in Revelation and other places in the Bible, it does talk about earthquakes and, you know, islands moving out of place. And, you know, there are earth changes like that. Now, are the earth changes that's happening today indicative of future Bible prophecy? I don't know. I think it's possible, but I would never say definitely. You know, I would never say, like, you know, when an earthquake happens, that it's definitely a sign of the end times. But I think we just got to take it, you know, case by case basis. Let me scroll through and see if anybody else has any other questions. Oh, hey, Thrivolous Z, thank you so much for your $10 contribution through Super Chat. He is saying, speaking to heaven, I believe in John 3:16. But then I get concerned seeing, quote, make your calling and election sure, end quote. It has to be of grace, though. It's not of ourselves, right? How can we impress God? I don't know the quote, but I do agree with the sentiment that, the core of Christian teaching is that Christ died for us while we were yet still sinners. So while we were still sinning, while we were still bad, you know, we can't save ourselves. We can never be good enough to attain heaven because we've all made mistakes. So yes, exactly like you said, we can't impress God, but God still loves us and he died to prove it. And through that sacrificial death, we can be reconciled to God and we can, you know, we can enjoy heaven with him if we accept that and we allow Jesus to cleanse our sins. And then from that point on, once we make that decision, once we pray and just ask Jesus, you know, please save me. And, you know, I want to go to heaven. I want to follow your teachings. I want you to be my savior. You know, you're my guy, Jesus. You know, once we get to that point and we're willing to make that first initial step of faith, and Jesus even said it could be the faith of a mustard seed, very small. Once we can make that first step, from then on, our responsibility is not to be so good that we impress God, but it's we follow the life of Christ and we try to emulate Christ the best we can because we love God. It's kind of like, you know, if you love your wife, you don't buy her flowers because you want to keep her as your wife. You know, if I don't buy her flowers, she's not going to be my wife anymore. That's a broken marriage. That's a terrible marriage. But you buy her flowers because you love her and you want to show your appreciation. So our lives are like that with Jesus. You know, Jesus gave his life for us. And if we love Jesus and if we want to, you know, go to heaven, if we want to follow the best example of a human life that we can, which is the life of Jesus Christ, then we do our best to follow that, not so we're counted as good so we can go to heaven, because that'll never work. That's works-based salvation, and nobody can ever attain it that way. But we do it just like the flowers for your wife, because we love Jesus and we appreciate what he said, and because we trust him, because the things that he taught us to do, we trust that those are true and those are accurate. So we follow those to the best of our ability, knowing that we're going to fail sometimes. We know that we're still going to mess up. We're still going to make mistakes. That's what life is. But we don't revel in that. We don't take enjoyment out of that. We take enjoyment in his forgiveness. And then we try to do better next time. We learn from it. You know, I teach my kid, Alex, you're a dad. You probably do this with your kids too. I teach my kids all the time. Well, okay, when you make a mistake, here's why it was wrong. And, you know, it's fine. I forgive you. But use this to learn better for next time. Do you find that in your parenting style as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just problem solving skills in general like that. You know, why did it go wrong? Excuse me. Why did it go wrong? Here's how to do it right. And again, in the future, try to do it right. If it goes wrong again, I'm there for you. Come to me. And it's just like Jesus, just like, you know.
Amen. And I love that, because I think the best example that we have of God's relationship with us is our relationship with our children. Like I've learned so much. It's really brought the Bible alive for me, at least. I've learned so much about what certain scriptures mean, you know, just having to do with God's relationship with us when I started having kids. And I realized, wow, this makes a lot of sense. You know, my kids love them to death, but they screw up all the time because they're kids. Of course, they're going to screw up all the time. I screwed up all the time when I was a kid. I still screw up all the time. Yet, I still love my kids more than anything. I would literally die for them, just like my father, you know, just like God in heaven died, Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. And it really brings that kind of into perspective. And it kind of helps me realize, you know, why God kind of created the whole timeline and earth and just the way he did it. It makes a lot of sense, because you can learn a lot of lessons from that. I think it is looking like, one more. We'll do one more and then we're done. Deanna, I was just about to close it out and we got one more. So Deanna Marie, good timing. You got the last one of the night. Question for your guest. Do you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? Are you familiar at all with like rapture theories, or do you know anything about that?
So I saw a movie by, was it Kevin Smith? I forget the name of it. But in the end, there's a rapture that is kind of, I forget what the movie title is, darn it. But in the end, there's a rapture, and they've been following this cultist kind of family. Basically, they all come out of the house and they hear horns. And anyway, they'd committed a bunch of crimes and they were under arrest, but they wouldn't come out of their house and they were holding some hostages. So they started playing these loud horns, and it got them to literally walk out and look up at the sky, and then the cops just kind of mob them and arrest them. But you know, we all are on this earth on average, I would say, from like 1 to 120, right? So like God and Jesus have existed way, way longer. And I think there may be a time when something like that were to happen, but I don't think it's going to be in our lifetime. You know, do I think that God or Jesus itself and all of their angels are going to come down and save everybody from whatever it is? I don't know. I don't think so. And the reason why I say that is because I believe that whenever you die, that's how you excel. You know, Jesus is not going to come out, descend from heaven to save you. You're going to ascend from earth into heaven. And I think it's kind of a one-way path. That's just the way that I see it.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it, because, you know, every generation has thought that they were going to be the last generation, and every single one of them have been wrong. So, I would agree that if a person's rapture interpretation entails Jesus coming down and saving everybody, then you're absolutely right. It doesn't work that way. Once Jesus does return, because, you know, Jesus ascended into heaven first century AD, and he had a promise that he was going to return someday. Once that return happens, wherever you are in Jesus, whether you've accepted him or not, that's it. You know, the decision has been made at that point. So he doesn't come to save everybody. He comes to judge the world and then save those who are faithful to him. I myself with the rapture, because there's a few different rapture interpretations. Some say that, you know, the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. Some say like in the middle of the tribulation. Some say it's like a pre-wrath thing. And some say it's after the tribulation. It all kind of centers around this thing. I think personally that it is something Christians like to use to fight against one another and show how much smarter they are than one another. I see a lot of that in the rapture debate, so I don't really take part in it. I'll say I do kind of lean towards pre-trib, and I'll be honest, it's because that's the one I want to be true. But I don't really teach that as truth, because I know my motivation for leaning towards there is more of a want and not based on fact. All the facts of the scripture, it's ambiguous. You know, we just can't know. We just don't know yet. Now, I do want to two quick things before we wrap up. First, I want to I don't know if this person's a troll or if they're just saying something legitimately, but I am going to address this because this has been annoying me for quite some time. All right. So I did a couple of videos. Alex, you might not be familiar with this idea, but there's this ridiculous idea going around in some fringe Christian circles, kind of like my area of what I deal in, that people, and there's a whole history behind it, but it just frankly, it's as stupid as it sounds. But the idea is that if you have Rh negative blood, then that means that you can't be saved, and you're what's called a Nephilim, which comes from Genesis 6. That there's a whole story behind that, but basically you can't be saved. So I did a couple of videos on it with a couple of guests, Gary Wayne and Timothy Alberino, and in the title I said, you know, people who have Rh negative blood, can they be saved? And in the video we emphatically say yes. Blood type has nothing to do with salvation. It's all on your, it all has to do with your relationship with Jesus, if you accept him or not. There are many, okay, so there are like, it's crazy. There's a whole history behind this. There are these secret societies today. They're not really secret because they're open and they talk and they do interviews and they do stuff online. And so we know that they're there, but like there's one group called the Sons of the Nephilim or something like that, where they actually try to find people with you know, obscure blood types or physical abnormalities because they think that they're the spawns of Satan or something, and then they'll go to those people and try to initiate them into their club. So like one of the things is if you have a sixth lumbar vertebrae, then they would say that you could be initiated in this group. I have a sixth lumbar vertebrae. I have a rare bone disease that causes my bones to grow larger than they should, and that's a trait of the Nephilim, that they were giants. It's a whole stupid thing. So like, I could be initiated into this if I was into that, and obviously I'm not. But anyway, I use that as an example to say, look, the blood type, the physical stuff, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It all has to do with your relationship with Jesus. So in the comments, because people like to react on a title and they don't like to watch a video, they like to react on a title. I got many people saying that I need to quit spreading the lie that people with Rh negative blood can't be saved. And I never said that. So we got somebody in the chat right now. Celtic Warrior, I'm calling you out and I'm going to challenge you out of love, but I'm still going to challenge you on your accusation here. Stop bashing the Rh negative people. You will freak out if you had the government link I have that Israel Graves from 2,000 years ago. That's all. That's not even a sentence. Was 100% Rh negative. Careful, brother, whom you accuse as Nephs, short for Nephilim. I would say be careful who you accuse as bashing people with Rh negative blood, because I never did that. I challenge you to find one video clip anywhere in anything that I have ever said ever. There's lots of stuff of mine online, so it should be easy. Find one where I said Rh negative blood means that you can't be saved. Find one where I bash people with Rh negative blood. I would suggest, and I'm doing this out of love, I would suggest, and a little bit of annoyance, but out of love, I would suggest that you don't react on the title, but actually watch the video and see what people are saying before you react. Otherwise, you might get embarrassed in a live chat. All right.
Just one last one. It's just like Eric Cartman from South Park, where he claims that gingers have no souls. You know, it's just everybody that's just saying that, you know, there's no actual like evidence or proof or anything behind that at all. And I think, again, what you said is, you know, it's all about your relationship with God and Jesus, and that's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. It's funny that you bring that up. I forgot about that reference, but you know, with the gingers have no souls thing, it's funny because a major belief with the Nephilim is that many of the giants had red hair. So that's kind of a common belief, which is funny. One last one, because it is a super chat. I haven't looked at it yet, so I don't know if it's a comment or question. It looks like it's just a comment. So we'll do that and we'll wrap it up tonight. By the way, thank you, Alex. I know we're like 20 minutes over what we agreed on. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Hawkeye Assassins, $40 super chat contribution. Thank you so much, Hawkeye. Is saying, every broadcast is always a blessing to us all. God bless everyone and your family members and friends as well. I look forward to meeting everyone in heaven one day, as do I. Thank you so much, Hawkeye Assassins. And thank everybody for giving your comments, your questions, and your attention to tonight's guest, Alex Patchen. Alex, thank you so much for coming on one more time, because we've gotten 20 or 30 more people that have joined. joined. Where can they take advantage of your SEO services? Where can they find you online? And just even if they want to, you know, whatever, talk to you, whatever, where can they find you online?
Sure. Yeah. So if you're having problems with getting your website to rank in Google, like on that page one where everybody goes, gosh, I don't know if anybody even visits page two, three, four, five anymore, right? Excuse me. But if you are having issues, come to me, tryfacemedia.com, and go to click on the button that says free SEO audit report, and fill that out, fill out the information, and we'll give you a real-time report card basically on how to fix your website to please Google, if you will, to get you to rank on those top spots. And if you can't do it on your own, just go ahead and reach out to us. Our information is on that report card.
Fantastic. And I highly suggest everybody do that, because like I've said three or four other times, but for those just joining us, like I said, I do not endorse anything unless I have good reason to. That's why I rarely endorse like anything on this channel. But I highly endorse Alex's work here and his company. It's just phenomenal. It's been a game changer for me for sure. And the good thing about it is it's affordable. Any of you out there who have a blog or a website or just want to get the word out, get a hold of Alex. He will help you do that. And his prices are very competitive. And I believe he does better work than anybody else on the market today. I have gone through other SEO companies, and I have not got this level of expertise and professionalism and actually seen this just explosive result in views on my website. So make sure you check that out. Well, Alex, thank you so much. This has been an absolute blast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'd love to write the script up again and see what else we can talk about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that'd be a lot of fun. All right, hang on the line. Let me close this out here. Okay, so everybody, thank you so much for joining. We got some amazing, amazing guests coming up. So next Friday, we got Jen Doe. If you want a little bit of a teaser on what we're going to be talking about, she came out of New Age. Go look up Dr. Michael Heiser's YouTube channel, Fringe Pop 321. He did an extensive interview with Jen Doe, and we're going to have her on, and she'll answer your questions. It's going to be a blast. I came out of New Age too, just like she did. Many of you already know that. So that's going to be a good conversation. After that, we have Carl and Zev Peratt. Now, on February 9th, it's important that you remember this, because the Peck Underground Church is going to occur at 11 a.m. Central instead of in the evening, because Zev Peratt is on Israel time. So we want to make sure that we don't keep him up at like 4 a.m. or something ridiculous. But also Saturday, an extra special treat for February 9th is we're going to have an interview with Kevin Sorbo, Hercules himself, on the pro-life movement. He's a Christian. He's a pro-life guy. He's got a lot to add to the conversation. You've probably seen him many times on Fox. So we're going to have him on, and that's going to be black. That is not a live one. That's going to be pre-recorded, but we will upload it that day. Hopefully it all depends on editing on my part. So we're going to try to get that on Saturday. If not Saturday, it'll be the next day, Sunday. After that, we have Dr. Michael Heiser talking about angels, the biblical truth about angels. There's a lot of misconceptions we have about angels. We don't know what we're talking about when it comes to angels. Yeah, did you know angels don't even have wings in the Bible? Isn't that crazy? You probably think that that's wrong. You probably think, no, I know the Bible says that angels have wings. Well, bring your challenges to Dr. Michael Heiser, because actually, surprisingly, they don't. Seraphim do, but seraphim and angels are different. So that's going to be an interesting conversation for sure. After that, Shelley Neese and Jim Barfield, they are in Israel. They are actively involved in the Copper Scroll Project, excavating the Qumran caves, trying to find the treasures of the Second Temple in the Bible. And they have potentially hit a gold mine. So we're going to talk to them. After that, just real quickly, Rachel Stevens, we got Dr. Michael Lake, Gary Wayne again, Alex Pagani. Someday I'll learn how to pronounce his last name. It probably won't be till I have him on and I can ask him. Joel Richardson is going to be after that, and then Brian Melvin. And we also have other guests that we're trying to get on. At some point, Stephen Strang has agreed to be on, as has Jonathan Kahn. So we will make that happen. We just don't know when. They have very busy schedules. So all that being said, thank you all so much for joining us on another Peck Underground Church. I hope you got a lot out of this. I certainly did. Until next time, love you all, take care, and God bless.